I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today is Tricia Howard, Marketing Manager at Holista Cyber, who, in addition to her cyber day job, is also a fine arts evangelist, a social media virtuoso, and a talented singer. You can find Tricia on Twitter at TrishaKicksSass. So, Tricia, welcome to Cybercrime Radio. I'm so excited to speak with you today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm very much looking forward to this.
Me too. So I mentioned that you are a talented singer, and we will we'll come back to that a little later. I just want to tease that up with listeners. But to start off, why don't you share with us a little bit about, you know, your story, your background, how you got into marketing, and ultimately how that path brought you into cybersecurity?
Yeah, sure. So I was a theater major and opera singer back in college. Been an artist pretty much my whole life. Yeah. And when I graduated from college, I was supposed to get my MFA in lighting design. And right at the very last minute, somebody who was more qualified than me came in, and I was the alternate version. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't really have a plan B. And I put this like very millennial post on Facebook, very artist, like nobody cares about my artistic experience and it's so hard to find a job. And, you know, fortunately one of my very good friends commented and said, actually, I think somebody would care. And I actually started my career in technology when I could barely use my phone, mind you, right after I graduated college. And I moved halfway across the country and started in inside sales and learned the business and fell in love with cybersecurity. I think that they're the heroes without capes, as it were, or with capes, whatever floats your boat. Right. So I really kind of fell into that. So I spent most of my career in sales, but I moved into marketing about a year ago, and it's way more my scene. I'm obviously a content creator, and it's been a way for me to bring my creative background into my day job, which is something I always wanted to do. And it's been a really fun journey.
That's awesome. And
yeah, thank you.
You mentioned moving across the country. So I saw on LinkedIn that you graduated from Texas Wesleyan University. Are you from Texas and now you're in New York?
Is that? I am. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. How was that, cultural change? Were you really excited about it, or was it kind of the same, but different place?
Yeah. Oh, it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. So I actually, when I originally moved up north, I moved to New England.
Oh.
And I like to say that I wanted to be in New York City so bad that I overshot it and ended up in New England. So I was able to kind of get used to the cultural difference and kind of ease into the New York life.
Okay.
But I'd always wanted to live in New York since I was like 5 years old.
Yeah. What part of, I'm in Maine. So I'm in Portland area of Maine. What part of New England were you in?
I was in Connecticut, like Hartford area.
Oh yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So you were pretty close though. Like you almost got there. Right.
Yeah.
Off the bat.
Yeah. It was like, I just overshot it, you know?
That's cool. At least you could take the train in and it's really easy and stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Awesome. So you mentioned, you know, being in marketing and how that like beautifully blends your creative side. What's kind of a day in the life like for your, you know, roles and responsibilities at Holista Cyber? I'm curious to hear that.
Yeah, sure. So I cover a lot of domains.
Okay.
I run like marketing operations, digital marketing, and am responsible for the content arm side. So it kind of depends on the day, which is what I like. I don't think I would do well in a place where I had just like one job to do. I like to do multiple things.
Yeah.
A lot of my job, honestly, is just communicating. I'm pretty well tied into the security community, and I have a couple of really trusted, you know, CISOs and everything else. And hey, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? How can we help you? From kind of bringing my salesy background
into
course, that.
Exactly.
And then just, you know, supporting the company in whatever way is best. I love social media, on a personal as well as professional side. And, The analytics side is really fun for me too. So it kind of depends.
And I really like how, because we hear a lot of different stories about people's paths into cyber and, you know, in addition to that, specifically like women's paths into cyber. And I really liked how, at least my perception of you sharing your background was you weren't really scared. You were just like, you know what, I'm going to just dive into this thing and I'm going to figure it out. And I'm sure that it'll be okay. And if it's not, I'll ask for help. And I feel like we talk about the barriers to getting more women into cybersecurity. And that's one of them, right? It's like, we're like, well, I don't know everything. And it's like, well, you don't have to know everything. You can't possibly know everything. And Right. Do you think that I did not probably do the level of musical theater that you did, but I dabbled in high school. So do you think that background really equipped you? Because like when you're going out and you have lines, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You're like, I might forget or I might mess it up. Like, do you think that helped kind of give you that foundational knowledge to just dive into something?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I've talked about this a couple of times. I actually think that artists are very well equipped to come into this field, specifically around like, you know, social engineering, my goodness. Right. And that's kind of what we do. I do think so. One of the biggest things about being on stage is, as you mentioned, just thinking on your feet. You know, what happens whenever the script calls for a very specific prop and for some reason that prop is not there?
Yes.
What do you do? And you know, you know what I mean? So in security, that's kind of what we're doing all the time. We're looking for these missing props and trying to find out what we can replace it with and how we can make it work. And so 100%, and especially there are some more direct lines as well, of course, you know, the creative thinking and, you know, how do you think outside of the box, but the thinking on your feet definitely helps. And not being afraid to ask for help it's a really big point that you hit on. And in theater, we're always asking for help. You have
Right. And it's you shared how you have some really trusted CISOs, and it sounds like that's kind of a mentor-mentee relationship. And has that been really like integral for you as you've found, you know, you've been learning about this industry and getting better and, you know, having that open dialogue?
Hugely. Actually, they used to laugh at me whenever I first started in inside sales. I would call a prospect and I would do my, you know, opening pitch. And if they let me talk, then I would say, okay, I have hit about the level of knowledge that I have. So since you're on the phone with me, would you mind telling me what you actually care about so that the next time that I call you unannounced, I can actually give you something that is of value? And I learned so much that way, right? It's a tactic that people didn't take often, you know, and right, yeah. People like to talk about themselves, you know?
Yeah, they really do. That's such a good point. And good point about social engineering too. But it's true, like they do. And it's really fun hearing how you've taken that and now you're applying it to what you're doing at Holista Cyber. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So Trisha, I'd like to hear more about how you've learned about cyber, your experience and how that's been fascinating to you. And then also kind of some fun things that you've done in the different areas of marketing that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So I would say I kind of, in a weird way, injected myself into the cybersecurity community via Twitter. I started blogging on my own because I realized that when a vendor or somebody would come in and they'd talk about security, and I would recognize, oh, you know what? That's like this, if I were to put this in layman's terms. I wonder how many other people would be able to understand these like really technical concepts if we made them more simple, right? And so I kind of built a brand around user awareness and, you know, kind of bringing it to the non-technical people, if you will.
Yeah.
And with that allowed me to, you know, build up this network of really, 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 really helpful people that are actually doing the work. So that's been really interesting. I would say one of the things that fascinated me about security is I had always thought that security was like super, super technical.
Yeah.
Like when I was in my first company, which was more like UC based, unified communications based, when we would talk about security, it was mostly foundational. So it would be the firewalls and the tech specs.
Mm.
And when I moved over to a company that only did security, I was shocked at how much of it was policy driven. I was shocked at how much was, you know what I mean? It wasn't even really that technical at all. And so that was kind of interesting. I think the most fun I've ever had was like participating in a CTF actually through, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose the name of the CTF, but basically we went and searched for like missing persons.
Okay.
And it was, you know, all technical acumen wanted or whatever, but it was really nice because since my life is social media, from my work, there were things that I was like, oh, well, have we tried this and can we try that? And that was really awesome. So that's been a lot of fun. I love the social engineering stuff, obviously.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's great to hear that it's rewarding for you too, as you mm-hmm. know, that's really important. Awesome. I mean, I saw on your Twitter as I was pulling together the script for us, it states that you're on the planet Coruscant. So I wanted to ask you how the weather was there. I'm a big Star Wars nerd, so.
Me too. My dog's name is Darth.
Oh.
So yeah.
What kind of dog is he?
He is a Pomsky.
Amazing.
He's very cute.
Perfect.
I'm pretty sure that's the only reason people follow me anymore is for pictures of him.
Yeah, that can happen. so that's fun. That's cool. Is that your favorite Star Wars universe planet, or did you just think that was most in line with New York? Or
yeah, that was the thing. I was trying to think of something, you know, kind of clever, and so I called some of my best friends and I was like, okay, what could I do? And they were like, oh, well, you know, that's actually a lot like New York. Mm. And I was like, oh, good idea. So, cool. Yeah.
I think that mine, since I'm in Maine, I'd probably be most like Endor. I don't know. But
Endor?
Right now, honestly, Hoth, it's quite cold.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair.
But in the summer, Endor. That's fun. Did you watch The Mandalorian?
I haven't yet. Oh, I haven't yet. I haven't had time.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. And so that is the thing though, right? Is like, we've kind of found ourselves. I mean, are you working from home or do you go into an office every day?
Yeah, I'm working from home right now. But normally we go into the office.
Yeah, sure. And I think that's the thing is like, we're working from home, but we're still very busy.
Busier, I think.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to separate whenever you're like, okay, well, I could go watch this TV show or I could finish, mm-hmm. you know, this project that I've been working on for a while. So yeah, it's a lot.
yeah, for sure. But if you like Star Wars, I'm sure everyone has said this to you, but if you like Star Wars, you will really enjoy it. It's very awesome.
I know. You know what I need to do is I just need to like take a weekend.
Yeah.
And do nothing but watch it.
Yeah.
And probably cry my eyes out.
Yep.
And you know, that's how it usually goes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can do it in a weekend. It's not the heaviest of lifts. It's probably what, 16 hours. Not even. Episodes are varied. They're not all the same amount of time. Some are like 30 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, some are 30 minutes and then some are 45 minutes, or I think maybe one is an hour. It seems like they just kind of took, which actually from a theater perspective, you would really enjoy. They, and you're welcome, Disney, for all these plugs. you would really enjoy the show that they put together called Galaxy's Edge, which they go mm-hmm. deep into depth of the process of how they did the show. And they show you everything like soup to nuts. And I really geeked out on that because
that's awesome.
It's really, really cool. And they're like super open about how they have innovated filmmaking and storytelling, and it's incredible. So
I love that kind of stuff too, especially in film, because obviously you have so many more options when you're talking about film, because it's, you know, pre-recorded and everything else. I find that really, really fascinating. Most of my career, of course, has been on like live theater, which has its own magic. But film, you know, there's like an element of intrigue there for me. So it's always really cool to see that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so since you've had so much experience with live theater, what are some of the, I guess, like the highlight reel of your, you know, your experience? Like, what are some of the productions that you've been a part of, and what have been some of your favorite shows or roles that you've done in theater?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's a good question. I'd say probably like the number one highlight reel, and it's because it really propelled me into like going to college for it. When I was 17, I got cast in this community theater play called The Rainmaker. Mm. And are you familiar with the musical 110 in the Shade?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
It's not a super well-known musical, so it's okay. It's not like, hey, have you heard of Rent? So basically it follows this woman who is like on the brink of being a spinster. Okay. And all she wants is, you know, a family and everything else. And this guy comes in who's, you know, a snake oil salesman. Mm. And ends up building her up, and she, you know, gets what she wants in the end. And it's a really cute little story. But that role really changed my life. Not to be dramatic, but it did. Because I had, you know, Wesleyan, there was a person who was in the Wesleyan theater department in the show who asked them to come and watch it, for me. And I ended up, you know, getting a scholarship to go there because of the show. And so, you know, that one was really fun. I've done a lot of fun little like bit roles. I think Into the Woods is always fun. Mm. I played one of the stepsisters, and you know, you can do whatever you want with. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of original plays. I'm working on one now, actually. Last year, with the Paper City Writers Group out of New England. And there were 10 of us, and we each wrote a section of a script, and it all came together. And now we're performing it, and I'm producing and directing it as well. And it's, you know, going to be virtual. But cool. Yeah, so I really like original plays. I like originating roles.
Yeah, that's really cool. So where will people be able to watch that once it's live or up or however that works?
Yeah. So we're in recording right now.
Yep.
So once we have all of the footage and stuff done, I'll have a more clear timeline, but I'll be promoting it on all my social channels. Cool. So it'll be the easiest way to find it.
Perfect. And how has, I guess, speaking of interesting production processes, how has that process been of pulling that together and recording and the post-production of that and everything?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've been a part of, from an acting side, a couple of virtual productions, which was really nice because in a weird way, as terrible as 2020 was, it allowed me to get back involved with some of the theater groups that I was in when I was in New England. And that's been really kind of fun. But this process has been really cool because when you... you know, when you start, and like when I started, it was like, okay, I'm going to write, maybe I would act. And then the process has kind of evolved. And it was like, well, you know, Trisha, you've done quite a few of these. Like, why don't we, you know, do this? And the cast has been amazing. The writers are great. I think the script is funny. And I've been able to use kind of my like work skills, creating the videos and stuff for that into this. And I that's what I love the most is whenever you can get a skill somewhere and apply it to multiple places. I think that's why we need to cross train people more, because you'll get a lot more out of them if you do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's an interesting topic in cybersecurity as well. And, you know, cross training and hiring people with diverse backgrounds that are not as linear. I mean, you're probably hearing things about that too, especially in social.
Oh yeah. It's a big topic right now, but it's true. I mean, if you have an employee who is interested in another area and I mean, why not? Right. Yeah. Let them train, see if it's something that they really want to do. Instead of having somebody go through, you know, a 4-year certification plan and then realize, man, I hate this, you know, like that's terrible. You know what I mean? I get asked all the time. They're like, you know, how did you make the jump into security? And then, you know, I got asked once, only once, do you regret getting a theater degree? And I laughed. I was like, are you kidding me? No, I got a degree in life and I had the best college experience of anybody because I was doing what I wanted to. And, you know, so yeah, I agree. I think we need to have more diverse backgrounds and, you know, less gatekeeping in that regard, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. And I think it's important what you said too, you know, you went to school for something that you were passionate about, and like my degree is in psychology, you know, but I mean, I use that
awesome.
Every day, you know, so it's like, go to school for what you're passionate for and you will figure it out, you know, like your path will, as long as you're open to trying new things, it can really open new doors for you, which sounds super, super lame, but
no, I know. And I know it, of course, it I know, of course, it works, you know, different ways for everybody else for everyone. And you have to take certain privileges into account, obviously. But I think if we took as an industry more of a look, I actually wrote a blog on this about how to fix to help the cybersecurity skills gap by looking at artists. I wrote a blog on this for US Cybersecurity Magazine. And the thing was, we kind of what we were talking about before, what is an artist's job? An artist's job is to communicate, right? So regardless of what your job is, you're trying to communicate. And in security, that's more important than ever, because let's say you find this really important bug and you can't talk to people, what's going to happen, right? So I think if we had people that come from more diverse backgrounds, we would be in a much better place as an industry.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I'm definitely going to check out that blog post after this, because I'm really curious to read that. I agree with you. Awesome. Well, I guess now's the time when we will segue into singing. I teased your ability to sing, and you've mentioned your theater experience, and you even mentioned opera singing. I saw on your, I think it was Twitter, where you had done the Carol of the Bells with yourself in the different parts and spliced it together, which I loved. I love those videos.
Thank you.
But I guess before I ask you to sing, I wanted to ask, when did you first realize you had the talent for singing?
Oh, I was a child.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I recognized I had the talent for it.
Okay.
I would say fair. I recognized that I loved being the center of attention, and that was a way to get people to listen.
Yes.
I really kind of came into it in high school.
Okay.
When I realized that I wanted to be, I was part of the choir and you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it got bigger in college whenever I started taking more, I diverted from the musical theater path and went more into the operatic path, because I'm not a belter by any means.
Okay.
I'm much more of a lyric soprano. And so when I started making that switch, I was like, oh, I'm actually kind of good at this.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that was probably it.
Very cool. Well,
yeah.
Trisha, I know you've written some of your own parody songs related to cybersecurity, and you wrote one actually from the musical Hamilton. So would you like to sing that for us today?
Okay, let me just cue this up.
No problem.
For a second. Sorry. No, I should have had this done.
No, that's okay.
All right. Here we go. Let's hope that this is all right.
You say the price of security's not a price that you're willing to pay. you cry at your logs, which you throw in the seam when a breach comes by. Why are you mad? Remember, we made an arrangement and you looked away. Now you've made us look bad. Remember, despite our engagement, I've no plan. You'll be hacked soon, you'll see. You'll remember you need security. You'll be hacked, pop those shells. You'll remember you didn't pay me well. Breaches rise, empires fall. We've ignored the data through it all. And when push comes to shove, I'll send a fully loaded 0 day to remind you of my love. 0 day, ay, 0 day, 0 day, ay, yay. 0 day, ay, 0 day, 0 day, ay, yay. You say your budget's drained and you can't fund it all. You'll be the one complaining when the network falls. And no, don't claim insurance. Just give them reassurance. That sweet, divine assurance. That disingenuous assurance. Forever and ever. And ever and ever and ever. You'll be hacked like before. Run some Qualys and update your score. For some funds, for the praise. It makes you look good and let's discuss a raise. When I'm gone, you'll go mad. Cause you threw away this thing we had. But when push comes to shove, I'll enact the entire kill chain to remind you of my love.
That was wonderful. And
oh, thank you.
Your voice is so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
And your ability to act with your voice is super impressive. That's very hard to do.
Thank you. Thank you. It's, you know, I think that's one of the places where I really prefer musical theater.
Yeah.
Is being able to do that. Because of course in opera, right. It is all about the voice.
Yeah.
It's very technical. I really like the, extremely technical, which is what makes it so beautiful,
sure,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it is definitely less about the acting.
That's so
Thank
fun.
Thank you very much.
Well, this has been so much fun. I am so excited. I hope that, you know, by this time people have listened along to the episode with us. I think that they probably had just as much fun as I have had. and so I'm just really looking forward to seeing you post about the production that you've been working on with that team. And I'm excited to, you know, watch your career progress as well at Holista Cyber or wherever the road may take you. I know that you'll be really great. So it's just been wonderful getting to know you.
Yeah, same here. Thank you so much for having me and letting me sing. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tricia.
Thank you.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Tricia Howard, Marketing Manager at Holista Cyber, who, in addition to her cyber day job, is also a fine arts evangelist, a social media virtuoso, and as you just heard, a very talented singer. You can follow Tricia on Twitter at TrishaKicksSass. And for more on cybersecurity and cybercrime, you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.